It's 2 years this week since the Sri Lankan army finally defeated the Tamil Tigers to end a war that had lasted 3 decades. But the passage of time has not answered the questions that were being asked even then. In fact, 3 weeks ago, a UN expert panel said allegations of war crimes committed by the Sri Lankan government and the Tamil Tigers were credible and could lead to formal charges. The report said the government carried out large-scale shelling of no-fire zones and also systematically shelled hospitals and food distribution lines. It also condemned the Tamil Tigers for stopping civilians from fleeing and shooting some to keep them from escaping. Gordon Weiss was an Australian UN worker in Sri Lanka, and now he's written a book about what happened, called The Cage. Our conversation began with events back in the early months of 2009.
The army of Sri Lanka had bottled up the Tamil Tiger rebels in a small patch of land on the northeastern coast of Sri Lanka, and they were closing in on them relentlessly. Along with the Tamil Tigers, they had also snared some 330,000 civilians, whom the Tamil Tigers were essentially keeping as a buffer against the full-on assault of the government.
So really the Tamil Tigers were using the civilians as a human shield?
Absolutely. They were using it as a human shield. In fact, there are now well-documented cases of the Tamil Tigers shooting people who tried to escape the siege zone.
And there's no point gilding the lily with the Tamil Tigers, is there? I mean, they were a pretty vicious group.
Not at all. They were brutal. They had a long history of carrying out suicide attacks that directly targeted civilians. They had chosen to use terrorist tactics for a homeland in northern Sri Lanka.
So then what happens? They're all trapped, not just the Tamil Tigers, but as you say, more than 300,000 civilians on this neck of land. What happens then?
Well, the assault went on. Tens of thousands of people were released in batches, or at least managed to escape. Until eventually the Tamil Tigers were surrounded, those who remained, including the leader of the Tamil Tigers, Velupillai Prabhakaran, on a small patch of land, along with still tens of thousands of civilians inside the small patch of land, and he was eventually killed, and the senior leadership captured or executed, depending on which story you believe.
Which do you believe?
I believe that the senior leadership was executed. I believe that Prabhakaran himself probably died in battle. I think the evidence is fairly strong at the moment to indicate that there was an execution of people who surrendered at the end of the war, and I suspect that happened and that large numbers of civilians were killed along the way.
Where do the war crimes begin?
I believe that the war crimes begin essentially in about January, when civilians were being pressed back into such a small area of land that it was inevitable that any bombardment as such conducted by the army of Sri Lanka was going to hit civilians in large numbers. And indeed, as I detail in my book, there happened to be a couple of international UN officers trapped for a short period of time behind the lines, trapped on a food convoy, and indeed they witnessed bombardment of civilian areas by the government and the killing of civilians.
What exactly did they see?
They were sheltering in a bunker there. They had built a bunker because they knew they were in dangerously close to the front line that was moving towards them. They were actually in a no-fire zone that had been declared by the government of Sri Lanka, and this no-fire zone had drawn large numbers of civilians. And throughout the night in late January, in fact for 2 nights, there was a very heavy bombardment. They huddled in their shelters. When they came out in the morning, they saw strewn about them the bodies of large numbers of civilians, most of them self-evidently non-combatants, women, children, babies, old people who had been torn apart by the previous night's shelling.
Now, you say there should be an international outcry, there should be an international investigation into all this. So why do you say that there hasn't been?
Well, it's essentially fallen between the cracks, as it were, of a geopolitical moment. I mean, at the same time, you had a very large outcry against Israel's invasion at the same time in the Gaza, in which some 400 or 500 civilians were killed. And you had a rather hidden war in Sri Lanka, whereas the Israeli incursion was really done in the full view of the world. Sri Lanka was known, well known by foreign correspondents as one of the untold stories of Asia. And that was principally because foreign correspondents were unable to reach the frontline areas. And indeed, that was precisely the case in 2009. It was very difficult to tell the story of what happened in Sri Lanka. It was out of sight and out of mind.
Well, indeed, our own Sally Sara was trying to piece it together, but constantly being held back in Colombo or only taken on chaperone trips to anywhere near the front line.
Yeah, that's right. I met Sally at the time in Colombo, and it was clear the frustration of many of the journalists there that they knew that something was going on, but they were unable to tell the story properly. They could only cobble together versions of what they thought might be happening from reports that were coming out from Tamil Tiger sources, or from what little the UN was able to pull together. But I think in hindsight, there was enough evidence of what was going on for more to have been done at the time in order to try to arrest the full-on assault of the government and to try and find a different resolution to that which actually unfolded.
Gordon Weiss, a former Australian UN worker in Sri Lanka and author of a book called The Cage about those events. You can hear a longer version of that interview on our website from this evening, including his thoughts about the refugee problem arising from all of that.